Good morning. Before I begin with my story, I want to share something very interesting with you. My dearest mom started crying while I was sharing one of my previous testimonies. Afterwards, she explained that while she was listening to me, giving my testimony with confidence, she was suddenly reminded of my aptitude test results in Standard 9, now grade 11. The test showed clearly that because of my extremely superior abilities, I could study towards any career. But the one and only career that I should avoid completely was a career involving public speaking, which is ironically the one thing I nowadays do successfully in sharing my testimony. This only goes to show that God makes us strong in our weaknesses. On our own, we may be unable to do certain things, but through and for God, all things are possible. This is very well summarized in the closing words of the song Rejoice. He turns our weaknesses into His opportunities so that the glory goes to Him. Now please allow me some time to share my personal life story with two very important life-changing messages with you. Just over 17 years ago, I had it all, and I was amazingly successful in the eyes of the world. In my first 26 years, I had conquered more challenges than some people could hope to achieve in a lifetime. Electronic engineering was apparently a difficult degree, so I completed that with success. I worked day and night at the CSIR as electronic engineer and CS system developer, having just completed the world first computer program on neural networks. That's a program, ironically enough, intended to simulate the human brain's decision-making process. At the same time, I studied computer science through UNISA. Over weekends, I got my adrenaline rushing by doing parachuting with the Air Force, whitewater rafting on the Zambezi River, bungee jumping down the Vic Falls Bridge, which at that time happened to be the highest natural bungee in the world, motocrossing on my motorbike, and kung fu. In summary, whatever challenge I encountered, it was just a matter of being there, done it, got the t-shirt. No challenge proved too difficult for me and my brain. On Workers' Day 1996, however, my life took a drastic turn. I was on my motorbike on my way to gym when an elderly lady skipped a stop street and rode my motorbike off. I was thrown off the bike, my helmet came off, and my skull was crushed against the curbstone. An angel driving behind me saw the whole accident taking place. When he reached my body lying on the road, I was blue in the face, not breathing, and my eyes were turned backwards. I was basically dead, and only after he administered mouth-to-mouth resuscitation was I brought back to life, for the first of many miraculous times up to now. As I was on my way to gym, I had no identification or documentation on me, and I was refused entry to two private hospitals. As a result, I was admitted as a Foxtrot patient to the then HF Wood, now Steve Biko Provincial Hospital, with the Foxtrot label referring to a patient with two severe brain injuries to justify wasting any time on medical treatment. Bottom line, in spite of membership of a very good medical aid, I was abandoned as unknown and brain dead and just left to die. Yet what an awesome, awesome God we serve that I can still testify for Him so many years afterwards. All the glory belongs to our God. I have always felt embittered against the private hospitals that refused to admit me in the golden hour, or now even refined to the full first 10 minutes called the platinum period, immediately after my accident. How could they dare to refuse me, especially since I had one of the best medical aids available at that time? Years afterwards, however, I came to realize that all absolutely had to happen the way it did. because my accident and all related medical records named Project Cornelia was used by trauma personnel in the late 1990s for an in-depth case study looking for a solution for the problem paramedics daily encounter of the timeliest availability of a patient's medical information in an emergency situation. As a result, I became the mentor and case study for the development of Crisis on Call. It's an identification system that talks on behalf of members when they can't, which continues to now save hundreds and thousands of lives on a daily basis. Praise the Lord for working in His mysterious ways. Through God's grace, I was eventually operated on the next morning when the eyewitness came to my rescue once again, where he found me abandoned at the hospital doors, just as the paramedics had left me the day before, and insisted that they attend to me. I was then operated on for cracked skull and brain hemorrhage, and I was in a coma for weeks. It was only after I woke up from the coma that my life, as I now know it, started. My father died, for example, a month before my accident, but I cannot remember him at all. Knowledge from my university studies, friends, colleagues, everything is lost, except for a vague memory about cats, the only thing I know from my previous life is what I see in photographs, certificates, university articles, and journals. Like a little baby, I had to learn to crawl, learn to walk, learn to talk again. With my dear mother, who unselfishly stayed with me and looked after me with my cats for years to come, as an alternative to being locked up in a medical institute. With the severe brain damage as a direct result from the lack of immediate medical attention at the first two private hospitals. At the tender age of 28, I was medically boarded from my job in which I had complete job satisfaction, as my ultimate holiday experience apparently had been to work through the night at the CSIR. For about 2.5 years, I avoided people because of all my inabilities and losses. First, my inability to count, which was a problem up to a few years ago, but what a breakthrough when after 8 years I could actually count correctly up to 10 again. Followed by problems in reading with comprehension, watching television with understanding, concentration, and severe memory losses. But then I found the Lord as my Savior, and I could suddenly face the world with my newfound identity in Christ. Whoa. Yet, no one ever said being a Christian is easy. Because as a new Christian, I was faced with the concept of forgiveness. Forgiving an elderly lady who was found guilty of reckless and negligent driving in two courts, but who still insisted up to the day of her death in December 2000 that I, as biker, was at the wrong place at the wrong time and that she did nothing wrong. That was the most difficult aspect of forgiving for me, the fact that according to her, as innocent party, she did not need my forgiveness at all. Personally, I believe that sharing my first life-changing message on forgiveness with you is the single biggest reason why God has brought me so many times back to this life. As I've never encountered the woman who hit me, but just knew that she was an elderly lady, I was consumed with hate for all elderly women. I got myself a 36-kilogram punching bag, named it after her, and punched out all my frustrations on that. I really had to control myself not to drive over every grey lady crossing the road too slow, but I never did it. This state of unforgiveness consumed me, and I was embittered, I withdrew from society, avoided people, and tried to shove them away with my anger. I nearly attacked people whenever they told me I'm looking good. I was looking good, but furious that they couldn't even dare to say that when they couldn't see how it actually looked inside my brain. Unforgiveness can be compared to a hand grenade. You have to get rid of it as quickly as possible, or else only you yourself will be destroyed by it. The other person that needs your forgiveness does not get affected in any way. It's only you yourself who's being destroyed through unforgiveness. My closest point to complete self-destruction was during Easter 1998, when I had to spend a month in Denmark Psychiatric Hospital trying to work through my frustrations. A part of the therapy was to write a letter addressed to the lady in which I put my frustrations on paper. After I was released from Denmark, on the one hand, I desperately wanted her to receive this letter. As new Christian, however, I wanted to know more about forgiveness, as I understood that it's God's command to forgive. But I was very confused about giving forgiveness to someone who didn't feel that they had done anything wrong, that they don't need my forgiveness at all. I talked to various people and ministers on the tricky concept of forgiveness. Eventually, I had all facts concerning the forgiveness of this woman on paper and in my mind, but I was earnestly praying to the Lord to make this a reality in my heart, to eventually forgive her sincerely from the bottom of my heart. For yet another year, I was constantly struggling and battling with this very difficult problem. And then I went on my first Valley Methodist Church camp in 1999. I was totally consumed with pain and anger on being unable to follow the teachings, when one of the ladies from a prayer ministry team prayed for me and laid her hands on me. There and then, I received a clear vision from God that I would one day witness to audiences on the wonders that He has done for me. But first, I just had to get rid of the root of bitterness and unforgiveness in my heart. Immediately after that weekend, I was for the first time spiritually ready to forgive the person who had wronged me and who'd almost destroyed my life. Through the Holy Spirit, I was able to put a letter to the lady on paper in which I mentioned the consequences of her reckless and negligent driving, but that I forgive her. I can't stress enough the importance of forgiving another person in your life, because ever since the lady has received this letter of forgiveness from me, the Lord has really been blessing me out of my boots and socks. God takes responsibility for His actions when we are obedient to Him, and as a result, we are completely covered by His blessing and His favor. Blessings that the Lord has bestowed upon me include: immediately after that, I won a Supreme Court case, this one being the front page Supreme Court victory, which featured twice on the late Isabel Jones's Fair Deal television program, and through which I was legally allowed to keep my cats in my sectional title high-rise flat. God helped me to cope with all my inabilities, losses, and pain. I've met and married my wonderful husband, Dion, even though considered as miraculously through the internet. A Dutch television company produced a documentary drama on my message of forgiveness titled Forget and Forgive. My testimony had been published in 2005 in the international book Refresh Your Heart in Jesus, together with other testimonies from all over the world. The Holy Spirit put my testimonies on paper. I've twice completed the 94.7 in August cycle races and also climbed Mount Kilimanjaro in December 2002, all being carried by God through my pain barrier. As a direct result from getting a random lift to attend the show at the Civic Theatre in 2005, I had been working full-time, sometimes flexi-time as my body allowed me, between 2005 and 2011 after an absence of nearly 10 years. In 2006, we moved into our dream house, perfectly numbered 7, where our cats can now indulge in the luxury of experiencing grass and a garden for the first time ever in their lives. My updated testimony on forgiveness had now been included in Helena Olivier's brand new book, Ware Verhale van Vergifnis, Loop die Pad na Herstel. My 20-year-old tuxedo cat, Jerry, he was on the DVD that was showed in the beginning, had been saved from before my accident to endure all this with me and to support me with his love, with his loyal companionship over all these years, and in all aspects of our lives. God is just blessing us in abundance. According to 2 Corinthians 8 verse 9, I can now boldly look to the cross and say, I've been made rich in Christ. God has given me the boldness to share my testimony with groups of people, and what I'm doing today must be my greatest victory achievement so far, sharing the one testimony on forgiveness with all of you. Thank you so very much for this amazing privilege. Nikki asking me to stand in today for the had truly been an answer to my prayers. All glory to God. More wonderful healing that took place in my life is that my wonderful husband, who had been a Rotarian since 1992, introduced me to Rotary International. His example inspired me, and I was inducted into the Rotary Club of Pretoria East in November 2003. Ever since then, a new world has opened up for me in using my expertise to doing service and giving back to the community when I designed and maintained our club's website. Thereafter, I've also been requested to design and maintain the Rotary Club of Brits' website, for which I received the next blessing in 2005, a Rotary Paul Harris Fellowship recognition, which is one of the highest service above self recognition awards to be bestowed upon a Rotarian. Similarly, my example inspired Dion, a wonderfully gifted guitarist who only used to play guitar in rock and one-man bands in the 80s and 90s, to now only play guitar to the glory of God in our Sunday's worship team and as musician at the Gloriosa Walks to Emmaus. Someone once, tongue in the cheek, remarked on this journey that Dion actually went from Guns N' Roses to God and Moses. With both of us being bikers to the bone, we've been called to the Christian Motorcyclist Association to minister to and win bikers, their family and friends for Christ, one heart at a time, while proudly riding for the sun. God blessed me with my dream bike in September 2009. It was the first one after my accident in 1996, through which an important circle has now been completed, where everything started on 1 May 1996 on a bike. From there, every moment, carried by God throughout my long and painful pilgrimage towards forgiveness, and 48 operations later, I will now, 17 years later, only use my bike as a powerful tool to glorify God and to lead bikers to Christ with their salvation as the ultimate purpose. I just can't stop riding for Jesus, as I've since done close to 34,000 kilometers on my motorbike. Over the years, the Lord also turned my pain into my gain, when His miraculous power of endurance made me victorious over my burden, made me stronger and wiser in faith, and at the end of my circle, only brought me closer to Him. The Lord has healed me in such a way that I was able to start working again as software developer at a medical IT company between August 2005 and June 2011, and at the same time, day by day, showing tremendous improvement in my brain function, with new neural paths being formed and taking over the once destroyed functions of my injured brain, all because I've been using and stimulating my brain on a daily basis. Compared to the nearly 10 frustrating years before, during which I stayed at home, having been medically boarded as an electronic engineer. As a result, Workers' Day 2011 had been the sixth one in 15 years that I could celebrate with dignity as a worker once again. All the glory goes to our dear Lord for making all of this possible, and to His healing power that followed after the eventual act of forgiveness from my side. It only goes to show. God wants us to be obedient to Him. He just asks for obedience from our side, when everything else will miraculously, in the eyes of the world, fall into its place. Just some more illustrations of forgiveness I want to share with you. While sharing my testimony with a Hatfield Christian Church cell group, one of the cell members received a prophetic vision of a massive spiked iron ball, which he initially did not understand. But when I reached the part in my testimony talking about forgiveness, he suddenly realized the meaning of this vision, that the unforgiveness that I initially experienced obstructed and burdened me like a massive spiked iron ball in my flesh. This is a very powerful illustration of the impact of unforgiveness and the damage that it's capable of doing to one's life. I've also heard a descriptive thing on Impact Radio describing the whole process of forgiveness. When some person hurt you, you have got the human right to get back or to hurt that person back, but forgiveness is giving up that right to hurt someone else for hurting me, and then consequently, through forgiveness, and only through forgiveness, eventually comes healing. Unforgiveness and resentment are also very appropriately described as the cancer of our emotions. It keeps on continually eating us away until it eventually destroys us. Forgiveness doesn't excuse the other person's behavior, but forgiveness prevents the other person's behavior from destroying my heart. To forgive is to set a prisoner free and then to discover that the prisoner was you. It should be noted that forgiveness doesn't only lie in forgiving big things, as in my case, but forgiveness should become a lifestyle which emphasizes the importance of forgiving the little things daily happening to us. If you analyze the Afrikaans translation, vergifnis, you only have to remove the poison in the middle, after which you will be completely covered by Jesus Christ's loving varnish. But on the lighter side of forgiveness, God has really got an amazing, amazing sense of humor. Initially, I wanted to attack every old lady I saw, associating her with the person who hit me. But eventually, when I became very actively involved in both the morning and evening women's auxiliaries at Valley Methodist Church, they turned out to become my best friends. Today I'm addressing you, my newfound sisters in Christ, with whom I know we'll have a wonderfully blessed journey together. I can strongly recommend it to everyone. The best treat you can ever give yourself is to forgive someone else in your life. Anyway, to continue with my life story with the next message, the realization that all is actually about God and the importance of having a personal relationship with Him. According to the people who knew me from before my accident, with my then superior brain, I was under the false impression that I did not need anything or anyone else to overcome all challenges faced in life. In a flash, all that I depended on for so long was no longer there. I was reduced to an embittered, brain-damaged, medically boarded pensioner trapped inside a broken body. Yet our ever faithful and loving Lord has always been there for me, every single step of the way. In the years of therapy and the 48 operations that followed, the Lord made me realize that it's not at all important what milestones, achievements, qualifications, status symbols, or business successes one is able to achieve in this life. Instead, the only important thing in this life is having a living relationship with the Lord and to rest our weight fully on our Heavenly Father. We were made by God and for God, and until we realize that, life will never make sense. From time to time, I still struggle with almost unbearable physical pain and discomfort. Yet for times as these, our ever faithful, loving Lord also gave me Romans 8 verse 18 to focus on, where Paul tells us that our present sufferings are not worth comparing at all with the glory that will be revealed in us. For years, I've been praying for a piece of scripture which that summarizes my testimony, but due to my inabilities to read books, articles, or paragraphs on the subject with comprehension, I initially did not succeed. Anyway, some time ago, as I was listening to Impact Radio, a scripture verse was presented that puts the message of my story in a nutshell. Mark 8, verse 36. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world, yet forfeit his soul? At the bottom of my Life Application Study Bible, the following discussion is given on the verse. Jesus said that the world centered on possessions, position, or power, in my case, qualifications, worldly successes, and achievements, is ultimately worthless. Whatever you have on earth is only temporary. It cannot be exchanged for your soul. If you work hard at getting what you want, you might eventually have a pleasurable life, but in the end, you will find it hollow and empty. Are you willing to make the pursuit of God more important than the selfish pursuit of pleasure and success? Follow Jesus, and you will know what it means to live abundantly now and to have eternal life as well. due to excruciating neck and back pain associated with an office job, I had to resign my job as software developer in 2011. But ever since designing and maintaining Rotary websites full-time from home, I can now see how much my presence means to my feline children. It humbles me to know how much God really loves me, because what is important to me is also important to God. The one and only thing I could vaguely recall after I woke up from my coma was that I had cats at home. God knew my cats are extremely close to my heart, and God has saved my tuxedo cat, Jerry, who I had from before my accident, to be there as companion all through the most difficult pilgrimage in my life. He's 20 years old this year, and it took him 2 years to accept my husband Dion in my life. Since I'm at home, I'm also able to develop more and more into a godly wife for my husband. Apparently, when I was at school, I took woodwork and metalwork with the boys instead of domestic science and needlework with the girls. As a result, I've never developed into much of a cook. But lately, it's my mission to be daily creating new connoisseur dishes to my husband's delight. And it's also now the delight to clean our beautiful home and do our washing. Over the years in retrospect, I have now come to realize that all of this which happened to me is due to God's unconditional love for me. He just could not bear to lose me for eternity. The King and God of the universe chose me because this is the story reaching its highlight in Jesus Christ, just illustrating God's unconditional love for each one of us individually. Although I'm still currently daily faced with various problems, I know that my condition is not forever, that in eternity I will be free and gloriously able to relate to Jesus in every way, on every level, with a more astute mind and a stronger and more supple body. But God is more than content with what I'm able to give him now. It is just me that he wants. I must not try to analyze, comprehend, or understand God's unconditional favor, grace, and love for me. I must just like a small child, accept it, live in it, enjoy it, just soaking it up, moment by moment. In conclusion, I want to end off with Moya Brennan's song. The Lord has performed so many miracles in my life throughout the past 17 years. I can continue talking for hours on that alone, but you can read most of it on the internet at www.mel.co.za, where the message thread is very clear and powerful on how the Lord has miraculously healed me, especially after my walk in faith, the eventual act of forgiveness from my sight, and God's unconditional favor, grace, and love for me and for each one of you. Once again, thank you very much for giving me this precious opportunity and for listening to God's message through me as instrument. Know that God richly bless you, unconditional, through Jesus Christ in you.